What do you remember about when Phillip Rivers first entered the league, John? Because obviously that was a big-time class with Manning and Roethlisberger. But I've always been a fan of Phillip Rivers because anybody that could sling it like that with that type of release, I'm going to be a fan of. But for him to I might be in the Hall of Fame, and just to throw that in the toilet to play the game for who knows how long for the rest of the season, it's pretty insane.
It sure is. And I remember reading about him when he was at North Carolina State, some guy named Phillips Rivers throwing a lot of passes every week and doing well. Norm Chow was his offensive coordinator, and they worked really well together. And in the 2004 draft, Eli Manning was supposed to be first. Archie did not want him going to San Diego and playing for the group they had in there. John Butler was the A.J. Smith was the GM. Archie didn't want his son to play for A.J. Smith. A.J. Smith, a lot of people didn't like him. Well, they drafted him anyway, made him get up there and pose in the Chargers hat. And then they made a great trade. They traded him to the Giants for a couple of number one picks. Giants, of course, took Eli. Chargers turned around and used that pick on Phillip Rivers. And even though Eli Manning won two Super Bowls, I think the Chargers were very happy for Rivers. One of the things about him is he's a big trash talker. But I thought, if you trash talk, you got to cuss. He doesn't cuss. But yet he's a big trash talker. And I've seen him beat the Texans. I've seen the Texans beat him. But he was always fun to watch. Quick release. He's 6'5". Drop back, ball comes out, and he's got good receivers there. He's got the pieces around him. It's not like he's got to go to the Jets or the Saints or the Titans, one of those teams that are terrible. So as a competitor, you know he wants to play. One of the neatest things I've seen was when they played in 07, when the Patriots were unbeaten, trying to become the first 18-0 team in history. They played in the playoffs. Rivers had surgery, a scope on his meniscus and his knee. 5 days later, he came back and played the whole game in Foxborough, where it was cold as hell. And he played as well as he could possibly play. So his last year at San Diego, not good. Or his last game in L.A. was not good. But he went to the Colts when we had all the shutdown for COVID-19, and he played well. He had a rating of like 97. They went to the playoffs. They lost to Buffalo, and he walked away. So he walked away with a good taste in his mouth about his performance. And now there's a chance that taste in his mouth is going to be at like after he vomited.
Well, Ike says the Texans D is going to destroy Rivers if he makes it that long.
Seahawks got a great defense, Ike. They may destroy him up in Seattle on Sunday. I think they should televise that game to almost everybody in the country because we're all fascinated with the possibility. The schedule they're putting out there, he's got to play at
– Oh, no.
Plays the Texans in the last game here if he survived, but those teams that he's going up against got good defenses too, but the Texans right now have the best. When y'all are interested in some really interesting Texans defensive numbers, let me know.
Yes, because they're my Super Bowl team now.
Have you looked at their offense?
I know, but I just need them to do enough. John,
I don't think their offense is good enough to go to the Super Bowl. Too inconsistent. Don't have a running game you can count on. The offensive line can be okay and then terrible. But they lead the NFL, giving up 16 points a game. And the team record is 17.4 in 2011 when Wade Phillips was in his first year as defensive coordinator. Their first round pick was a guy named Watt. They went from 30th to 2nd, and they gave up 17-4. And considering they're going to go up against Jacoby Brissett, somebody from the Raiders, maybe Kenny Pickett, maybe Geno Smith. And yes, they got to play Justin Herbert, who they beat in the playoffs last year, and then close here against Rivers or Leonard, one of those guys, or Brett Rippon. They got a good chance to establish that record. Right now, they are first in opponents' passer rating, 69.8. They're second in opponents' completion percentage, 57.1. They're first with 11 games allowing 20 or fewer points. 10 of those have been fewer than 20 points. They're the only team in 40 years to limit opponents to fewer than 225 yards passing in each of their first 13 games. And then a stat that I do not like, they lead the league in field goals, and that just shows how pathetic their offense is in the red zone. They're number 31 in the red zone. Only team that's worse, the Saints. That is absolutely pathetic. They're at a time right now, you shouldn't be having the mistakes, not lining up right early in the game. D'Amico Ryan's having clock management problems at the end of the first half in the last two games. Fortunately, they won. And the inconsistency of their offensive line. Only one player on offense has started every game. Well, y'all want to guess which one that might be? Rookie left tackle Ariante Ursary. First one, he didn't start at left tackle. That was Cam Robinson, but they started him in that jumbo formation that the offensive coordinator Nick Kelly likes, that I absolutely hate. What you do there is you're just putting another mediocre offensive lineman on the field, taking away a skill position player. On defense, though, they have six. And that's one of the reasons they've been able to be so good. They lost two starters for the season, MJ Stewart, a safety, Tim Settle, a defensive tackle, but they've got depth at both of those positions. Defensively, Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter, the ends, Aziz Alshire, the linebacker, and three in the secondary, Kalen Bullock, and cornerbacks Derek Stingley Jr. and Kamari Lassiter. They have started every game, and I think they got the best secondary in the league, and they might have it if they didn't have one of the best front lines, because those guys can cover. Four of them play well enough to go to the Pro Bowl, including Jalen Petrie, and that's not going to happen, of course. And then nobody's throwing at Derek Stingley Jr. anymore. Kansas City, he made one play, broke it up on fourth down. That was the only time that they came close to throwing it at one of his guys.
Yeah, his defense so good.
Go ahead.
Right quick, let me point out, Matt Burke, the defensive coordinator, calls the defense. On TV, they keep talking about D'Amico Ryans. Every once in a while, they'll show Matt. But when D'Amico gave it up to Matt this year, early in the season, when they were winless, they just took off, skyrocketed in their performance. And Matt Burke has done a great job. I'm starting to see his name as a possible head coach. I think he'll have to do it another year. But he is the unsung hero. He and Davis Mills.
I mean, do you think this defense, even though the Texans are kicking a bunch of field goals, I mean, we all think back to 2000 when the Ravens.
Trent Dilfer.
They didn't score a touchdown in five games, John. I mean, is this defense good enough to carry an offense that's, scoring 12, 15 points on field goals?
Well, fortunately, they average 21 a game, but sometime they're going to need to score more, I think. These next two games against the Cardinals and the Raiders should give this offense a chance to get its act together, be more consistent, make more big plays. They made two in the first half against the Chiefs on passes to Nico Collins. One was a short one that he took long, and the other one was a throw down the field where he out-jumped the guy. C.J. Stroud has a great rating when he throws over the middle. Problem is, he gets flushed out of the middle. The best plays he made against Kansas City were when he was running for his life to the right side, and he made pinpoint passes for first down. And I think this offense in these next two games has got to convert in the red zone. Problem is they cannot run the ball in the red zone. If the opponent lets them get inside the five, they got them right where they want it because they can't run the ball. A big part of that to me is Nick Caley's play calling. Now, he's had a couple of calls the last two games that were good calls that resulted in touchdowns, but they don't run the ball well. Even though third-string running back Dari Gumbawale had the game-winning touchdown on a five-yard run up the middle.
John, last night, it was an entertaining game, say the least, but the NFC South is definitely just how did the Buccaneers blow that game? Third and 28 to four from 14, Baker threw a huge interception, and Kirk Cousins made some big-time throws. Your thoughts?
It was a great game, and Falcons had nothing to play for, but it was a better post game. When Todd Bowles had to be bleeped seven times, he got up there and let himself, his players, his coaches, everybody have it. You know, bleeping this and bleeping that, the bleeping effort, and he was right. Think about how many coaches would like to say that. You don't think Steve Sarkisian liked to get out there after the Florida game and say, we bleeping sucked. We were our blah, 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 bleep, bleep, bleep. Of course he would have liked to have done that. And I think the fans would have liked to have seen him do it because they all felt that way. So Todd Bowles, now they're talking about his job being on the line. I don't think it should be. He's had him in the playoffs, three times, each of the last 2 years at least. And they got Mike Evans back, and they still blew it. Their defense was terrible. And that's Bowles' specialty, defense. Baker said, this is on me, and is on the defense as well. Kirk Cousins, nobody expected that kind of performance from him. And they're going to have a problem if he plays well the rest of this season. And then next year, do you dump him and go back to Michael Penix, who is out with an injury, because you are paying – Kirk Cousins, you paid him most of his contract. But I thought it was a great deal to watch the Falcons do that. Bijan Robinson, nothing. I saw a stat. I can't remember what it is. Bijan, he's either the league lead or he's had a record of like eight games in a row with over 200 yards from scrimmage, something like that, which is phenomenal. I may be giving that wrong, but it's still very, very impressive. The Texans need a running back like Bijan Robinson. They can't keep putting Band-Aids on their running game. Last year, Joe Mixon was one of their best players, their inspiration, a leader. He could play, catch the ball. He could run. Now he's on another planet, and we don't know if it's Pluto or Uranus. And so they've been patchwork running game. Now, it's not going to happen without a trade-up. But, God, I'd love to see them get Jeremiah Love in Notre Dame. But that guy's one – scout that I from ESPN that I trust a lot, Matt Miller, I think has him as his number one prospect overall.
Jeez.
Well, you know, it was interesting this week. Joe Burrow had a press conference and he looked really sullen, talking about how he needs to have fun. He probably should have been the MVP of the league last year. He played so well, but his team sucked. What did you make of that, John? Because he has been such a talent in the league, but he's been beat up.
Well, a lot of people were comparing it to Andrew Luck. Well, Andrew Luck, he got hurt severely, things like spleen and stuff like that, and had to have parts taken out. And Andrew, who's a very smart guy, went to Stanford. He may get a PhD at some point, and very cerebral. And so Joe Burrow's from a middle-class town in Ohio where football is everything for them. And I'm sure he's frustrated. You know, the last 2 years, if he played better early in the season and they hadn't gotten off to such bad starts, they would have made the playoffs. I can understand his frustration, but I don't see him walking away. He's 29 years old. He loves the game. Anytime he plays, you think they got a chance to win. They'll need to improve their defense in the offseason. He wanted them to sign T. Higgins. They did it. He wanted them to sign Jamar Chase. They did it. And they gave Trey Hendrickson a contract and haven't gotten their worth because he's hurt. So he'll be gone. The guy from A&M, what's his name? Shamar
Stewart.
Stewart, he's been a total bust as a rookie. I don't know if he's hurt or what. He didn't do squat at A&M, but he looked great in the mirror. So all of a sudden at the combine, people are like, wow, this guy looks great.
And that's
the last thing you should be doing. You look at production. What did he do? So what if he's fast and quick and this? Did he produce the way he's supposed to? Is the guy a football player? Too many of them rate players based on like a beauty contest.
Yeah. Yeah. That first round's all about the measurables. I want production. I want football players. I want some dogs out there. All right, I got to ask you about.
I'll tell y'all a story right quick. The late, great C.O. Mercado from the Oilers and Titans, best scout I've ever known. Most people would tell you in the NFL, the greatest ever was C.O. Mercado, died 10 years ago. He told me, he said, all these people write their scouting reports in pencil because then they hear somebody else tell them about a guy and they run back and erase it, use that opinion, then they erase it some more. You can't write your reports in pencil. They got to be in ink and they got to be what you believe in. One time I was at so the respect he had, can't remember the year, but I was at the Senior Bowl and after that night I was in a hotel bar and I was sitting with about five or six agents and we're talking about players and who they had. And somebody said, well, Zach Thomas at Texas Tech doesn't have an agent. I said, is that right? I said, C.O. Mercado thinks he is going to be a great player in the NFL, even though he's not rated high in what C.O. says, because that bleeper is a football player. Every one of those agents jumped up, no cell phones then, ran to the bank of payphones and started trying to call Zach Thomas or somebody from Tech, and then they come back. He just hired an agent yesterday. It turned out that bleeper was a football player.
Best I've ever seen.
Hall of Fame.
Best I've ever covered in college, that's for sure. Plus, he's got that neck.
No neck.
I didn't know he had a neck.
Yeah, I was going to say, he don't got no neck. Zero neck.
A tree stump. All right, John, I got to ask you about this Lions-Rams game. I mean, this was looking like two of the best teams in the NFC, and now Rams are favored by, six. Lions are all beat up. Brian Branch busted Achilles. I'm not feeling good about this.
Are they playing in L.A. or Detroit?
Yeah, L.A. It's not looking good. Uh-oh.
Oh.
We got the freeze. Let's see. See if we become unfrozen. See if we can do better than we did with John Brown yesterday.
Is that foreshadowing? You ask him about? Okay, there we go.
I think the Rams are going to win it because they're the best team in the league. Even though the Lions are desperate just for the reasons you mentioned, Chip, injuries, that Brian Branch was a killer for their defense. But I think the Rams, that loss they had to the Panthers might turn out to be the best thing that's happened to them. Next week, I think on Thursday, they play the Seahawks. Now, they're not going to be looking past the Lions to the Seahawks, but that's two tough games for Los Angeles when you have the Lions and then you have the Seahawks on a short week. Can't wait to watch those two teams because they are great offensive teams.
Yeah, definitely going to be a good one. John, another good matchup. Packers going to the Mile High to play Denver, who is 11-2. Your thoughts on the Broncos-Packers matchup?
Well, I'm stunned, Zay, that you have two teams with 10-game winning streaks, Broncos and the Patriots, and both are underdogs at home. I don't see the Packers beating the Broncos at Mile High. The Broncos have a great defense. They have a quarterback, Bo Nix, who's been better in the fourth quarter than any other. That's better than being better in the first quarter. And, yes, the Packers are playing better, but I think the Broncos are a Super Bowl contender. I'm not sure that I think the Packers are yet. If they win at Mile High, then I'll say they're a Super Bowl contender. As for the Patriots, they host the Bills. They won in Buffalo early in the season. That's the first time we're like, whoa, Mike Vrabel could have something special here, but he is playing the easiest schedule in the league, and if they sweep the Bills, that one's over. and the Bills would be competing for a wild card berth. But I would never pick against Buffalo and Josh Allen, even though he doesn't have receivers. Their run defense is not good. They don't have nearly the talent as they used to, and they're having to depend on him so much.
Well, I agree with you. The Jaguars, they look like a juggernaut. John,
I think that is a little, let's see, a juggernaut. Nah, I don't think that's the right word.
They
got a 4-game winning streak. They played really well, but they're not a great team. I think they're going to win the AFC South if they go 3-1 and lose at Denver, and they got an easy schedule, then they will, 12-5. And if the Texans go 3-1 and lose at the Chargers, they'll go 11-6, which, by the way, is what I picked them for the season. And the Texans will be a wild card for the first time in history. It's amazing when I tell people they've never been a wild card team, and they're like, wow, really? 23 years, now 24? And I don't see the Texans winning 3 games on the road with their offense to get in the Super Bowl. Now, if the Texans win out, are they capable of beating the Chargers? Sure. They played at SoFi Stadium in the first game of the season against the Rams, lost by 5. The defense limited the Rams to 2 touchdowns, 14 points. So could they win there? Sure. They beat Herbert here last year in the wild card game. Last time before that, they played Herbert. They beat him. That also was here. And if you can go to Kansas City when it's single-digit wind chill and beat Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, you ought to be able to beat just about anybody.
Yeah. John, who wins the AFC North? Last week, Steelers got the win against Baltimore, and they got the advantage in that fourth spot in the playoffs. But do you think the Ravens can make a comeback, or what do you see happening there?
Does anybody really care about the AFC North? Going into the season, we thought it was going to be the best division, 3 contenders, and then the Browns. And now they're not. Until the Ravens are mathematically eliminated, I'm going to stick with the Ravens. I watch the Steelers. I just don't believe in the Steelers. Whoever they play, I don't think they'll do any damage in the playoffs. And I know Pittsburgh now, T.J. Watt's got a partially collapsed lung. He got treatment. He's going to be playing, and people go, oh, my God, how could he do that? Remember in 2018 when Sean Watson had a partially collapsed lung and broken ribs, and he couldn't fly to Jacksonville, so they drove him in a luxury coach, and they beat the Jaguars. And so you can play with that. But it's hard for me to pick against the Steelers, but I don't see anything special about the Steelers. Lamar Jackson got to play better, and if he does, maybe he'll all of a sudden quit being Clark Kent, become Superman again, and they'll get on a roll here at the end of the season and beat the Steelers.
John, you're the man. I know Zay probably wants to ask you about the Rockets, so go ahead,
Rockets beat James Harden by 2 points last night. It was a great victory, and Harden was so nice, shaking hands with players and everything. The fans gave him a huge ovation when he left the court, and the Rockets are playing really well. They've only lost, I think they've lost 5. Only one was a team that didn't have a winning record.
If they were in a 7-game series with Oklahoma City, do you think they could dethrone them?
No. Oklahoma City is off to one of the, if not the greatest start for a defending champion in history. They beat the Rockets by 1 in double overtime in the first game. I just don't see the Rockets having their talent, their experience. I think that'd be more likely, say, next year, because OKC, they are not relaxing, that's for sure.
John, last thing, this comes from Joe. Joe K says, does Mike Tomlin keep his job for another year if Pittsburgh makes the playoffs?
Joe, I think he's going to keep his job even if they don't make the playoffs, because he got the most patient ownership family in football, and it's not like he's had one bad year. You know, they need to do a better job of adding talent. They don't need 42-year-old quarterback. They didn't need Russell Wilson. Don't blow the Kenny Pickett pick. Get them some players there. It's not Tomlin. It's the personnel people.
Love it. John, you are the best. We appreciate it. We look forward to it every Friday.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you very much. As always, Merry Christmas and happy holidays to all your viewers.
Happy Same holidays. To you. Same to you. John McClain, the legend, the general. We call him the general. Mad Dog McClain, even, because he apparently went into his neighbor's yard as a kid. There was a dog. I went after him. And I think bit him. So, you know, you're in the nickname Mad Dog McClain.
Interesting.
You know, all right, let's get a couple mentions in here because we got some stuff that we need to talk about. But hey, listen, I love talking about Human because Human, with their health supplements, all their award-winning science-backed research done at the University of Texas Health Science Center. And I have tried all the supplements and Human is the best. There is no doubt about it. The Super Beats Heart Chews, which, you know, the best, beat based, you know, heart chew, number one recommended by cardiologists. If you have high blood pressure, this is going to help you, you know, have healthy blood pressure two times more than just healthy diet and exercise. So the Super Beats Heart Chews, a must. But the three, I call it the triple crown of health supplements are the Cholesterol Health Daily from Human, the Metabolic Health Daily from Human. It's going to help you with your, you know, weight management, your blood sugar. I mean, these are very sophisticated formulas that Human has put together. And the Cardiovascular Health Daily, which is going to, you know, help you with blood flow, with blood pressure, with vascular health. These are all things that as we get older, we need to make sure that we are paying attention to. So here's the beautiful thing. You go to humanwith2ns.com/TSU. Use the promo code TSU and load up because you're going to get 20% off your first order. So, you know, load up on the Cardiovascular Health Daily, on the Metabolic Health Daily, and the Cholesterol Health Daily. Because there's a 90-day money-back guarantee, and you need to let your body, you know, adjust to these supplements so that you feel everything that I'm feeling. Brain fog is gone. I feel better. You know, joints, everything. So take care of yourself. Do it for yourself. Go to humanwith2ns.com /TSU. Use the promo code TSU and load up. You'll be glad you did. And listen, guys, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. When I talk about the Sleep Cycle Center and how lucky we are and how lucky you are, really, that we have this partnership with Texas Sports Unfiltered to where if you go to sleepcyclecenters.com and you tell them that Texas Sports Unfiltered sent you, they're going to take $100 off your sleep study. And Dr. Chad Denman has the best technology for those sleep studies to detect exactly what level of sleep apnea you have. Remember, sleep apnea is a lack of oxygen while you're sleeping, which is very scary. And it should be scary. I mean, Dr. Chad lost his father at the age of 60 due to sleep apnea. He went to sleep and he never woke up. And that's what we're trying to avoid here. So if you know you snore, this is for you. And last night I fell asleep without my mouth guard in and my wife woke me up and she said, "Hey, I need you to put your mouth guard in." And that tells you everything you need to know. Because I'm asleep. I don't hear what I'm I don't hear that I sound like a chainsaw. But when I don't have my oral appliance in, the oral appliance that Dr. Chad can get for you, can make for you, it makes a difference. So go to sleepcyclecenters.com and tell them Texas Sports Unfiltered sent you. And hey, you know what? This holiday season, how about taking yourself, some friends, the fam to Cover Three right there on Anderson Lane, right in the heart of Austin, or up in Round Rock if you're up north, and enjoy that Sean Adams prime rib sandwich, you know? And if you remember Sean and his incredible presence on the radio, I called him a life force. Get the Sean Adams prime rib sandwich and just talk about Sean. Enjoy that. I think that would be really great this holiday season. And hey, Sean, like myself, when we needed big screens, and Sean, I think, did a full-blown media room that Tom McKay and Audio Visual Consultations did for Sean. And look, Tom and his crew have put big screens up in three different houses for me here in Austin, and he can do it for you too. And it's so simple. He's going to bring you the best price. So there's no reason to be out shopping. You just call 255-8678 and Tom and his crew are going to bring everything to you. The best products, LG, Sonos, surround sound, you name it. He's got you covered. He can do surveillance. He can do electronic shades. He can do new lighting. Like if Jerry Jones needs new shades for that west end of Cowboys Stadium, Tom and his crew could do it. They put some electronic shades up there. But just call 255-8678 or go to avconsultations.com. All right. Zay, for the chip shot today, as I've reported now over at horns247.com, I can answer your question. Jabbar Jalouk is looking like the leading candidate to be the new running backs coach at Texas. They could get this thing done like ASAP. I'm hearing the meeting went great. They're talking contract. So Jabbar Jalouk, barring anything, you know, unforeseen, I think he's going to be the guy to take over for Chad Scott. He obviously coached Jaden Baugh to a, 1,170 yard rushing season, over 5 yards a carry as a sophomore there in Gainesville. And I have no indication that Jaden Baugh would be doing anything other but staying in a Gators uniform. I don't know what that situation is. Everything I hear is Florida is going to do everything they can to hold on to him. But, you know, Jabbar Jalouk is a guy who's coached in the SEC, coached at LSU. He coached at Texas Tech for a year. And then in 2017, he joined Billy Napier's staff at Louisiana and was there, and then went with Billy Napier to Florida, where he coached Trevor Etienne. He coached Jaden Baugh and has a healthy track record when he was at LSU. He coached Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who helped LSU win the national championship in 2019. And so, you know, Jabbar Jalouk is a guy who's seen as a guy who has a good eye for talent, can develop it, and is a guy who relates well to players, pushes them, gets the most out of them. Which is what you want. So he's got ties to Louisiana, and we know that that's a talent-rich state when it comes to recruiting. So I think Jalouk is a guy who, has a good track record. So we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, I mean. Getting big shoes to fill, because like you said yesterday, like it's like replacing Tashard Choice all over again, because clearly they missed on Chad Scott. If they didn't miss, he'd still be here. So, yeah, to Luke, good track record. He's had good backs before, but he's coming into a room that needs some confidence, man. Like Jared Gibson and TJ Baxter just leaving on the fly, that's brutal. And Katravian Wisner, we got to get his spirits back up so he can have a big-time senior year for his last year at the University of Texas. And see what you can do in the portal, too, because I think they need another back to go along with the development of James Simon, Ricky Stewart, and Christian Clark. So, yeah, solid pickup, and we'll see how it fits.
Yeah. You know, we talked about it earlier. Six players have opted out of the bowl game for Texas. Anthony Hill Jr., Michael Taff, Ethan Burke, Malik Muhammad, Jalen Gilbo, and Trey Moore. Everyone else at this point is practicing. So there you have it. I think that's a pretty good indicator that Malik Muhammad is going to be moving on to the next level, entering the 2026 NFL draft. He has not made any kind of announcement yet at this point, but that sure is what it's looking like. That's what all my sources are indicating, is that Malik Muhammad will be moving on. So
good for him. He had a year where he should feel good about the film that he put out. He got better. Like, I definitely went at him in the 2024 season, because as good as that secondary was, when teams had to go after somebody, they went after Malik Muhammad. He had a lot of penalties in 24. You know, he got beat a few times. And you knew if he just figured certain things out with his measurements and his size, you know, you saw it his freshman year. And again, he just got exposed to sophomore year, junior year. They weren't even throwing to his side. And when they did, he capitalized on those opportunities. I wish he was healthy more throughout the season. Obviously, no one stays healthy, you know, really the whole season. Everybody's a little bruised up, but it was so bad for him, he had to miss a game, which, come to find out, the game that Texas probably needed him the most, he wasn't available, and that was the Florida loss. So, like, him and his just responsibilities on this team, it was big, and he deserves to go off and see the next part of his life and change his family's life. And that next step is the NFL. So good for him. Wish him the best.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I'll say it again. Texas players need to pay no attention to what's going on with the Michigan Wolverines right now, because that story is as crazy as as crazy as you're going to find in terms of a head coach. And this stuff happens a lot. Okay. Head coaches have dalliances with cute, hot staffers, whatever. But they don't end up in solitary confinement like this. I mean, they're worried he's trying to kill himself.
Yeah.
So he's under watch. It's what a mess. And think about it. You know, we joke all the time that it's undefeated, and, you know, but look, coaches are one of the three most powerful people on a college camp. A winning coach, a championship coach could be the most powerful person on a campus. Nick Saban, are you kidding me? But Nick Saban is a happily married man with Miss Terry. But how many coaches have we heard about having these extramarital dalliances? And it ends in crash and burn fashion. I mean, Bobby Petrino and hell, that girl's boyfriend beat the crap out of him. A lot of people thought that was all from the motorcycle accident. Some of those injuries were from the guy who beat up Bobby Petrino. And apparently the girl he had the affair with is still married to that guy.
Oh, he weak. That's weak. Beat up Bobby. Yeah,
how many times have we heard about this kind of stuff? I mean, we heard about it with Les Miles years after the fact at LSU and on and on. Guys, is it worth it? Was it worth it? Hell no, it wasn't. Don't earn. I mean, I always say don't cost yourself money. Mostly I say that to the players, but to the coaches too. Mel Tucker lost a $90 million contract for pleasuring himself on the phone with a person who talks about the importance of not committing Title IX incident.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's crazy, man.
This, apparently they were both lying to the, you know, I'm like, I have mixed feelings about the Michigan athletic director because he was asking questions. The gal who was having the affair with Sharon Moore was saying, no, nothing to see here. Well, if the woman isn't willing to come forward, she ultimately did, obviously, then what can you do? So, yeah. I mean, I get it. There was bad stuff going on under Ward Manuel's watch, but look, it's a mess. It is one of those you're hitting refresh each day to find out what's going on. Yo, down there.
On the left here, you have Sharon Moore Monday press conference Citrus Bowl. That top right, Sharon Moore Wednesday, where he got locked up the first time. That bottom right, that's when they got him in court. Butter knives. Yo, yeah, he's lost it, my man.
Yeah, he's 39. Like, it just, you get into these power positions, you got women working around you. A lot of programs want to have beautiful women working around them because it's a, you got recruits coming in, you got players and all that stuff.
Have some self-control, man. I see some folks saying some wild stuff on the Twitters. One dude was like, that's why you don't hire attractive women. Bro, that's the most insane thing I've ever heard in my life. No, just keep it in your pants, bro. Keep it in pants. Self-control. Like, porn's as popping as it's ever been. Go take care of that. Come back. See how you feel. She ain't as fine as she was 5 minutes ago, is she?
Come on,
Sharon Moore.
On that note, since we got to make some NFL picks, let's get to the right call.
Let's get it. Before that, though, shout out to Covert BK, family owned and operated. We'll be in Houston today, a little early Christmas with the family. And you know, we got to take the Buick Encore GX, the Covert BK vehicle. Can't wait for the drive. Nice, easy, smooth. And when you feel comfortable in the vehicle that you select, road trips, they ain't nothing. And Covert Beep Cave, they will make you feel that way. Seven terrific brands to choose from: Jeep, Dodge, Ram, GMC, Buick, Chrysler, and Cadillac. So they got variety, you know. They don't just have a selected few. You will find what you want at Covert Beep Cave. Crossovers, SUVs, trucks, etc. You want it, they got it. Go to covertbeepcave.com to see all the latest specials and inventory. Nobody beats a Covert deal. Not now, not ever. All right, we got to zip through this real quick because we didn't touch on it, but we definitely have to. The Texas 2026 football schedule is rough. It is rough. 9-game schedule. Start with Texas State. Week 2, Ohio State. UTSA, week 3. You go to Knoxville, week 4. Then you get a bye. Cool. Your only bye of the year. After that, it is 8 straight SEC games from October 10th to November 27th. And in that span, you got OU, Florida at home, Ole Miss at home, Mississippi State at home, then you go to Missouri, then you go to Baton Rouge, Lane Kiffin and them boys. You got Arkansas at home again, which we talked about how that doesn't make any sense, but whatever. And then you got to go to Kyle Field Friday night. Friday night, by the way, after you just played seven straight games, you got a short week Friday night. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, the one bye week is frightening. Like, they had – every team had two bye weeks last year. And how thankful were those teams to get those? Texas has a bye week after its first four games and then will play its final eight games straight. And in the SEC, you're adding a conference game and you're taking away the second bye week?
That's what I'm saying. Like, why would you want to go to Atlanta for the SEC championship? Why would you want to play in that?
Right.
That's a death sentence.
That's a death sentence.
The teams that make it there aren't going to make it in a college football playoff. Like, I can't see it with this nine-game schedule. And is it like this for everyone? Like, who else? Where are all these? Because some of these schools are still playing their G5 game in November and stuff. But, man, this nine-game schedule plus SEC championship, I don't think it's worth it at all. Because even if you win it, like, you're going to be limping in the college football playoff. You'll get a bye for sure. But it's to the point where I think runner-up Chip, they should get a bye. That's how brutal this schedule is, going to nine teams. I know that's not possible, but when I'm looking at these schedules all over the conference, I would do that. It's nuts out here.
It is. And the bye week will come, can come as early as four games in. And Texas is four games in. I don't know that that's, you know, like Bama, their bye is Halloween, Arkansas, October 24th, Auburn, October 10th. Florida, October 24th, Georgia, October 24th. So theirs is a little later. You know, Oklahoma, their bye week is October 3rd. And
Yeah,
it's rough.
Well, it's rough. Got 105, 105 scholarships. See, this is why I understand Sark wanting the fifth year, too. When I see schedule like this, like, because, man, this is just yikes. All right, you ready to make the picks?
Yeah, and Texas and Oklahoma both have the same bye week.
Yeah.
October 3rd. Yeah, I'm ready to make some picks. You ready to make some picks?
Let's go.
Like, one game that just doesn't make no sense to me is Carolina minus 2.5 at New Orleans. Like, wow. Are there injuries? Something I don't know about?
No, it's just the Panthers.
Okay, so we're all like,
rival game.
Okay.
Tyler Shuck's been all right.
Okay.
He's been all right, you know.
I am scared to death of my Lions against the Rams because there's no way I'm taking Detroit to cover 6, maybe 7, but not 6. But I'm just rambling here. I am going to take Denver against Green Bay as a home dog. Now, part of this is a hate pick, but come on, Denver. I need you to show up and show out, because if Detroit's going to take an L, then I need that 10-game winning streak to grow to 11. So give me Denver plus 2.5 at home against the Packers.
All right. You know what I got to roll with on the first one? Indianapolis plus 13.5. It's easy. They going to be in the game. They might not win it, but Phillip going to have them in the game. That first quarter is going to be rough. Maybe the whole first half, but they going to fight back. The Phillip's going to make some throws, man. He's going to make some plays. So, yeah, give me the Colts plus 13.5. That's high.
That is high. What if something happens to old man Rivers?
What does that mean? You call him the bounty on Rivers? What is this?
What if he is old and just pops an Achilles?
Then he pops an Achilles. Then it's going to be a tragic story. He pops his Achilles and he's going to realize it was a bad move. But, hey, it's worth it. Love of the game. Hey, you got 20 kids anyway. They can take care of him at home. They can bring him his water. He'll ring that bell. One kid will come in, ring it again. Another one will come in. He'll be fine.
All right. Well, the Dallas Cowboys coming off a loss. They're playing at home against the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings are coming off a win. Give me the Dallas Cowboys minus 5.5. I think the Cowboys get back on track. Beat up on those purple people eaters.
Yeah, it's a rough week in the NFL, man. Let me get Pittsburgh -3. Aaron Rodgers. It's time to win the division, fellas. Mike Tomlin. You know, that's how they're going to be motivated. They love that guy. Got to play hard for him. Everybody trying to fire him and stuff. Tied a 9-8 every year, losing first round of the playoffs, but winning the division. Not this time. Like, come on. We got to show these guys we can make a run. That's why you got Aaron Rodgers. Show them you can make a run.
You know who I need to show me something? Give me the Carolina Panthers, baby. The Carolina Panthers. -2.5 at New Orleans. Carolina Panthers.
NFC South leading Carolina Panthers. Wow. That's right. Wow. I'll take Buffalo. -1.5. Going to Foxborough. Yeah, I like that. Now it's time to play with the big boys, Patriots. Now y'all 11-2, y'all feeling yourselves. Cardi B making videos talking about she's a football bitch and stuff because of her baby daddy, Stefan. And like, okay, everybody's very high on the Patriots. Cool. But now when every game is 30 degrees, Drake May, show me what you got. Because I like that dude on the other side. Allen, he can play some ball.
What do you think of the Texans at home -9.5 against Arizona? That seems a little high. A little high.
For that offense.
Yeah. It's tough to be offensively challenged. I'm scared to death of that Lions-Rams game.
You keep saying that.
I mean, Brian Branch, what? You know, it's bad enough Kirby Joseph is out. Now Brian Branch, your Pro Bowl safety, is done. That guy was an eraser. I think the Lions are – I mean, unless they score – what did John Brown tell us? Lions got to score 40.
Yeah, that's wild stuff.
That's not going to happen against the Rams. 40.
Yeah.
I mean, against Fisk and.
Did we pick our three?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to do a bonus pick?
Yeah, since no college games. Let's give him one more.
What you got?
God, slim pickings. Kansas City, minus six, bounce back game. They're pissed. They're pissed.
Yeah. After Dicker the Kicker's heroics?
Yeah.
His back game. What, 54-yarder to win the game? Yeah, after
I don't like the way Justin Herbert treated Laura Rutledge, man. That was foul. He better than that. Yeah, Madison Beer, you need to tell him. You need to let him know. Yo, you find her number, apologize to her, be a man. I'm trying to send a beer with my team. No, do
the She nailed it. She was smooth.
Pro.
She was boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, pro. She's a pro.
Pro.
By the way, I hope this isn't the case, CB. I haven't, you know, I'm looking around the Twitters. They're saying the same thing. Meg Thee Stallion, Klay Thompson reportedly have broken up because Meg was caught cheating. I ain't going to say I'm surprised, but also let's wait. Let's wait. Innocent until proven guilty. Let's wait. But Meg's track record ain't the best. Ask Tory Lanez, who's locked up. Y'all go figure that story out on your own. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to talk about it here. We got Open Gym about to come up. But damn, that's sad, man. Klay don't deserve that. You don't Klay. Deserve that.
Who are the
Andy's
who's
not playing well either?
Who's playing quarterback for the New York Jets?
Isn't it Tyrod?
Yeah. Tyrod Taylor.
why are you talking about this? Let's bring in an Open Gym, guys. Patrick, Matt.
What's going on, you guys? Hey, Brady Cook, starting quarterback for the Jets this weekend.
Good Lord.
Like ex-Missouri quarterback Brady Cook?
Ex-Missouri undrafted free agent rookie Brady Cook, starting quarterback for the Jets this weekend.
Huh.
That is not good.
I don't know if that helps or hurts.
I don't think it helps. The question is, how much does it hurt? I don't know.
All right, then give me the Jags minus 13.5 at home against the Jets.
Wow.
That's a big one. Yeah. Hey, did you guys hear the latest Sharon Moore news?
Uh-oh.
His mistress is still employed at the University of Michigan.
Oh, boy.
As of today. Yeah, according to TMZ.
Because she's going to sue the shit out of him.
Hey, I got to jump on a conference call. But have a great weekend, everybody.
Have a great weekend, you guys.